So I'm going to take you on a little roller coaster ride. I'm so excited. I'm going to have a sip of wine.
Girl, stop talking. All the shit that people are thinking but not saying. I'm not even like drunk. I've just been like drinking. Does my podcast offend you? Men, if you're listening, I apologize in advance. Women, hey bitches, are you ready? Are you still talking? Girl, stop talking.
Oh my God! I'm so excited to talk to you guys this week because, first of all, happy fucking Monday, bitches! If you're watching this video, as you can see, the backdrop is a little different. I really wanted to focus on this week's episode. I wanted it to be like fun and girl chat and girl talk, and I really just want us to feel like we're sitting in the same room, gossiping and having some fun conversation. So welcome to my bedroom. If you're just listening, hop over to Spotify. You can watch for free on Spotify. Girl, stop talking. Please subscribe. However, some updates. I will be working the next couple of weeks to put all of my content on the YouTube channel. If you aren't subscribed already to the YouTube, it's Girl Stop Talking on YouTube. You have to type in the whole name because I am an explicit sex podcast. I don't think I monetize very easily. So type it in. You'll see me. I think I have 3 or 4 episodes up there right now, but all these other video episodes are going to be up there. Okay. So this episode today, it's going to be so fun. Well, for those of you that are interested, I think like if you're here for a good time, like usual, you're going to have a great time. I'm feeling really excited. I've been thinking about this episode all fucking week long, and I'm just excited to share more updates about what's been going on with me and also kind of dive a little deeper into some reality TV drama. So before we get into all of that, I want to announce, to make it legit, that I will be dropping weekly episodes sometime very soon. So we're going to go to a weekly episode podcast. I'm really, really excited and finally have the time to be able to fully commit to doing weekly episodes. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to consist of just yet, but I will keep you posted. A lot of it is just going to be like the same shit that I normally do, you know, life updates, TSAs, topic episodes, of course, but I wanted to kind of like expand and like be a little more creative with this outlet. This is going to be my fucking year, okay? This is going to be the first fucking year that I am solid, consistent, and growing. Like, I want this podcast, correction. One day, this podcast will be my main source of income. That's the goal right now. So we're working towards that goal, and I would love, love, love if you could support me by subscribing anywhere to the Instagram Girl Stop Talking podcast, Girl Stop Talking on YouTube. And you can always follow my personal page, Tatum Zoe with 3 E's. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. Like, just if everyone could make one friend, force them to subscribe, that would be so great. If all of you, just one person, would literally double the viewership of the show. Okay. So I'm here in my room. I'm in my jammies. And I wanted to just start the episode off with like some updates, because I feel like it's been 2 weeks since I dropped an episode. And has it? I think so. No, I don't even remember. The last one was the week before Valentine's Day. 2 weeks. A lot has been going on, and I just kind of wanted to like touch base with you guys with all of that. So first, I have to fucking talk to you about my fucking sunburn. Okay. I am prepping for summer now. This goes straight into my whole fitness journey, wanting to look good in a fucking bikini, feel like myself again. So I told myself, like, okay, Tatum, you're looking like a ghosty white pale bitch. It's time to amp it up. Some people are going to scream when I say this, but even though I'm an esthetician and I know it's so bad, I did unfreeze my tanning membership. I see my girl Helen at Palm Beach. Shout out. If you're in Chandler, go see her. She'll hook you up. However, when I unfroze my membership, Helen always gives me the good rundown. She's like, girl, this is what you need to do. Otherwise, you're going to burn. You have to put your lotion on. If you don't show up with lotion, you're going to burn. I walked in there and told her I wanted to do 10 minutes, and she looked at me like, are you fucking crazy? You see how white you are, bitch? She's like, do you have lotion? I'm like, no. She's like, okay, you can use mine this time, but you need to get your lotion. I'm like, okay, fine. Used her lotion, went in for 7 minutes. I did a lay down. Everything was peachy. Totally fine. I was like, okay, this is great. I decided to go back and I was like, okay, I'm going to amp it up one. I'm like, I didn't burn. Everything was fine. So I go back, a different girl was there, and I told her I wanted to do the stand up. Now I have the most basic membership, and normally I would be like, okay, that's fine. I'll do the stand up. I'm like, I didn't burn at 7. So like, fuck it. Let's just do 8. And I told the girl, I'm like, I'll do 8. She's like, okay, fine. Yep. There you go. I did not have my lotion. Honestly, I did not believe that the lotion really did anything. I thought it was just kind of scammy. Like, I know that they make commission off that kind of stuff. It's very, very expensive. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to go in. I go in the stand up for 8 whole fucking minutes. 6 minutes hit, and I can feel my skin is kind of like the burning is happening, right? And I'm like, well, it's like 6 minutes and 30 seconds. What's another minute and a half? I forgot, nor was I reminded, because usually they remind you these things. The stand-up bed is higher power than the lay down. Okay. Pretty sure the lay down you can go like 17 minutes or 15. The stand-up you can only go 10. So if you do a stand-up, it's supposed to be less. I did more. And I also didn't have lotion. So I could feel my skin quite literally burning. And I'm like, whatever, it'll be fine. I get out, not thinking anything of it, go about half of my day until I realize that my whole fucking skin is crispy. Like, I touched myself and was like, it fucking hurt. Okay. It was red, beet red. I looked like a motherfucking lobster. If you're watching this, I'm going to show you a picture. Yeah, literally burnt to shit. Okay. I saw Helen and I talked to her about it, and she was like, girl, you know, you got to use your lotion. I don't know what to tell you. I am not fucking kidding you when I say I have never been so sunburned in my life. It wasn't just one part of my body, okay? It was my whole body. I was butt naked in the fucking machine. And my whole fucking body got roasted, like sensitive to the touch, sweating, hot, getting like cold flashes. Okay. And then I like look in the mirror and I'm like, low key, like the delusional side of me is like, okay, but like you're kind of tan. And then I literally couldn't wear a bra for 3 days because I couldn't have anything rubbing on my skin. At one point I was naked and my literal fucking nipples were brown. Normally they're like light pink. They were brown and my tits looked fucking purple. And I'm sitting here like, excuse me, ma'am, are we getting enough oxygen? Because it looks like you're gonna pass out. It was the most unbearable pain. I literally thought I was gonna peel. I didn't. I've been putting lotion on 3 times a day because I don't want to peel. I've been protecting myself when I go outside with sunscreen. It's finally getting back to normal. I don't think you can really see, but whew, a bitch is still hot. But let me tell you, I'm looking damn. Again, shout out to Helen. Thank you for giving me your lotion. You were right. It was so bad. So hella sunburnt this week, kind of took me back a little bit. And I want to talk about Segway. The whole reason I told that story is just like jumpstart for the summer. And now I want to like talk to you guys about my fitness program. Cause I know I've been updating you here and there. As of tomorrow, it'll be 6 weeks. I am feeling honestly fucking great. It has been so much work, to be honest. A lot of dedication, a lot of saying no, and no to just regular things. Like even to my son, who'd be like, can I have a bite of that? And I'm like, no, you can't, because I've already put in all my food for the day. I've already tracked all my food for the day and I need to eat this, but like, I will make you something else. Saying no to like going out to eat with friends or like eating at restaurants. And I really do feel like I've changed a lot of my old habits. The gym has been going really well. I did check out my before and afters about 2 weeks ago and did notice quite a bit of difference. If you follow on Instagram, you probably saw that as well. That was the last time I checked my measurements, and it said that I lost 5 inches around my waist, 2 inches around my hips. That's significant. And I'm so excited. Okay. I tried on my shorts from last summer just for shits and gigs. And it was kind of a wild experience. I'm also like bleeding out this last couple of days. So your girl's been like exhausted and emotional. But I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be upset with myself if they don't fit. I just want to see where I'm at. The most that I can do is take progress pictures. Like I know they're not going to fit me right now. I can take the pictures. I can use this for a part of my journey. I put the shorts on. Dude, they fucking fit. I literally just got goosebumps. I did not think that I was at this point in my journey that my clothes were going to fit me again. And they do, which I was very emotional about that. And I'm sure if you follow me, you're going to see that, because I do plan on sharing that experience as well. It's been a lot the last 6 weeks, a lot of changes, but it's crazy to see like that it is worth it. It's working. And this is just the beginning. Along with that, one of the things that I really gave up, I did implement a lot of things, and maybe that's something a different episode I can talk about, because honestly, I could go on. But I also gave up alcohol, and for I think it was 41 days, I completely cut it out as I'm like drinking wine. The first time I drank wine was actually the last episode, the Valentine's Day episode. So it was 41 days, no alcohol. Cheers. I really wanted to learn and have a better understanding about like my relationship with alcohol. And it's crazy. I had like this moment where I was like, you know what? I think I want to drink. Like I wanted to podcast. I wanted to like be in the zone and like not be overthinking and not give a shit about what the fuck comes out of my mouth. And it's always easier to do that after a glass of wine. But I was struggling with it, and I was like with my boyfriend talking to him, and I'm like, should I have a drink? Should I do it? Is it worth it? Like I've already gone 40 days. My hard goal was about, I think it would have been like 70, 80 days, something like that, before our vacation that we're going on. And he's like, just, if you want to have a drink, have a drink. But then I'm like, is it worth it? I don't know. I've already gone this long. Am I going to have to start over? And he looked at me and he said something to me, which really like helped kind of like change this perspective or helped me better understand why I was feeling this way about alcohol. And he's like, I don't know what's going on with you, but I'm not going to be a part of this decision. Like, if you want to have a drink, have a drink. Like, you don't have a problem, you know, like you're an adult, have a drink. But I was struggling with this like whole idea of like having to start over. And then it hit me. My whole life, I have been told that I have a problem, that I'm an addict, that I have like issues, that I come from a line of family members that have issues. And this was kind of like a deeper seated like thought in my head that wasn't true. So I'm going to unpack it a little bit so you guys can understand. I'm not going to get too far into it, but my whole, like, I basically grew up in AA, okay? That was because I had a parent that struggled with addiction. So when I say I grew up in AA, from a very young age, I went to meetings. I was around people who were recovering addicts, recovering alcoholics, people that were trying to do better for their lives. My parents quite literally met in rehab, which is wild. Like, you're not even supposed to be like thinking about, you know, the opposite sex, let alone getting into relationships when you're in rehab, but they literally met in rehab. And a lot of my family members, this is true. They are recovering alcoholics. They are recovering drug abusers. And they also, you know, so there's been this fear of, well, you are going to be too. So this fear of you're going to be, we have problems. Being in AA, they literally like, it's no lie when you see a movie or whatever and they're like, hi, I'm Tatum and I'm an alcoholic. Like that is how, that's what they say, because a lot of the AA program is being self-aware and accountable for your actions. So that's how they started off. It's like you have to take accountability for you having a problem. I grew up in this. Like I said, went to these meetings. I was pressed in my life, my young childhood and my young adult life, that I had to be worried. I had to be fearful that we come from a long line of, you know, people who struggle. Like, you're going to struggle too. But that's not true for me. I haven't had an issue with drugs or alcohol. Those, like, have I had my fucking party days? Of course. I feel like most people in their young adult life go through their party days. And, you know, my young adult life, I was raising a child on my own. So I didn't get a lot of party days when my friends were the ones going to the parties. Like, that kind of came a couple years later for me. I think we all go through that phase, but so here I am fighting with this idea that, like, in the back of my head, I'm telling myself, like, maybe I do have a problem. Maybe I am an addict. So that comes into the whole thing where I gave it up for 40 days, but what if I have, is that going to mean I have to start all over? It was like I was having this internal battle with myself, and it wasn't even like my fear. It was the fears that were pressed on me from my childhood. It's wild going through life and coming into like 30s and really unpacking all this shit. It's just crazy. I feel like I've learned and I'm continuing to learn so much about myself through these relationships and experiences that I'm having, and like learning and understanding my relationship with alcohol, it kind of set me free. Like the last couple of weeks, did I have like 2 glasses of wine? Yeah, I did. And like, obviously I had the 2 glasses of wine the night before because I had to finish the bottle. I mean, I didn't have to. That sounds so bad. But it would just go to waste, you know? We didn't want that. But, you know, it's like I can say no. I can do the things that I prioritize over drinking alcohol. And I have done that. And I've proved that to myself over the last couple of weeks. And it's felt nice. Feeling like getting rid of the feeling like I have to have a drink to go to dinner is so great because I know that I don't. And I'm like, what is one drink going to do anyways? Nothing. Just waste like, you know, fucking $15. That's it. So that's just a little bit about me and what's been going on with me. We can dive deeper into that in another episode. What I want to do is I want to get into Love is Blind. Love is fucking blind, bitch. Okay. Oh, I didn't know if I was gonna like podcasting from bed. I'll tell ya. It's not my favorite. I wanted to have a cute little staged look for you guys, but my legs are hurting. Okay. Excuse me. We're gonna get into this. I am obsessed with this fucking show, okay? You guys are going to have to tell me if you like this or not. This is like girly time, girl breakdown, reality TV edition. And I just feel like I have so much to say. Picking apart these people's like body language and being able to see how this all plays out, it's just so wild to me. And I was so excited to start recording this episode because I'm like, oh my God, I just get to go talk with my girlfriends about and gossip about the show, and it's going to be so great. So if you haven't watched the show, this is a spoiler. We're going to be going over the first 6 episodes, the first drop that Netflix dropped. We're going to be going over the characters, the ones that it couple up and exit the pods and a couple other people. And then I'm going to stop there. And then next week's episode, I'm going to basically do like the vacation part and like the ending, I think. I know I'm a week behind or whatever, but we're going to fucking, well, actually, you know what? We'll just see what fucking happens. Okay. We're going to break it down, characters and couples. This is a spoiler alert, so if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it, come back to this after you have. If you're not going to watch it and you're still interested and you want to hear the gossip, come along for the ride, baby. Okay, first we're talking about Matthew. Okay, this guy... Seriously, he just needs therapy. He comes into the pods and he comes with this list of questions numbered. Like, and I'm like, okay, this is like different, but I could see how it's kind of a game. It could be fun, right? And he's like, okay, so I wrote down a number of questions like 1 through 15. If you pick a number, and I'll read the question and you can answer it. And so he does this with every girl, every date that he goes on. And literally like his second date or something, the girl picks a question, answers it. And then she goes, oh, like, how about you? His literal response is, he's like, oh, honestly, I didn't anticipate getting any of the questions back. Awkward silence, walks out of the room. I'm like, what is going on with this person? Like, He literally does not know how to communicate in any setting, not even like behind a fucking wall. It's strange behavior. And there was a couple of people he opened up to. And then he, you know, said that he was like from a very small town, country boy, like a town of like 600 people. I'm like, this poor sheltered man, he is like fueled with this like toxic masculinity, which he said, like, very different way of living, not talking about emotions or feelings. But I'm like, honey, what are you talking about? Do you talk about anything? Because it's giving you're talking to a wall. Like, you just, it's very strange behavior. He was also very concerned and like about like how the world was going to view him. And it's like, honestly, you would have been better just being yourself than like being in your head about what America was going to think. I think at one point he referred to himself as like Batman or Superman. Like, people didn't like Batman at first too. It was like something like that. I'm like, bro. So he started to open up with AD, which was one of the girls on the show. And at first it's like, he starts opening up, he starts talking. You're like, okay, maybe he's normal. Like, he seems more comfortable. Maybe he just needed someone that he like better connected with. And so you start like getting these, there was hella red flags. And then you're like, okay, like maybe we can give him a chance. And then out of nowhere, bam. Okay. AD goes back into the girl's side. One of the other girls is also talking to him. And she is talking about how literally word for word saying how like he wants to propose. He wants to meet her dad. He doesn't know if he can propose until he gets like the dad's blessing. AD overhears this other girl because he literally said the same thing to her. The same thing verbatim. And I just want to say, I really love this season. Like, if you haven't watched it, I think you watch season 6 before you watch any of the other seasons. Season 6 and then go to season 1 and then jump around. But all of the girls in this season, even though some of them are dating the same guy, I feel like everybody is so like upfront and honest without being bitchy and catty. There isn't a lot of like cliques. Like, everyone seems like they get along very well. So the girl was, this was like the moment where I was like, are these bitches gonna fight? Are these girls gonna fight? She was like, excuse me, ma'am, I need you to be so serious right now. What did he say to you? And anyways, they ended up finding out that this guy verbatim said the same thing to two girls. He clearly is from a small town, bro, because if you don't know that girls talk, I don't, I have nothing else to say about that one. Okay. Kenneth and Brittany. Kenneth and Brittany are so wholesome, so sweet. I feel like they just are like a lovely couple. Like, everything just seems like it works out for them. They connected so well. They both so honest. They seem so genuine. When they, after Kenneth proposed, the face-to-face was just like, normally it can get awkward. It's kind of weird. Like, I can't imagine being in that position where you've like made this like emotional connection to someone, but you've never seen them. You don't know what they look like. You have no idea what to expect. And then there's like this big reveal. I honestly can't imagine the nerves, the anxiousness. And so like, this often leads to like awkward, uncomfortable moments, unless the connection is real. Like, I feel like in the past, any of the people that ended up walking down the aisle and saying yes, their face to face seemed real. It seemed genuine. It seemed like just natural. And this is what happened with Kenneth and Brittany. The face to face was natural. Moving on, we'll get back to them later. Amy and Johnny, same. Johnny, he's like the good guy, but probably finishes last. You know, he's like cute and fun and nice and sweet. And it's like the nice guy, you know, like doesn't always necessarily get the girl. That's what I feel like is going on with Johnny. Amy, so sweet, so genuine, big sister vibes. You later find out that she is a big sister and she has this whole backstory to, you know, why her brother is so important to her. They hit it off right away. I think they were one of the first couples to get engaged. Their face-to-face, also natural, excited, zero tension. Love that for them. I feel like at this current time watching, I felt like Kenneth and Brittany are going to make it. Amy and Johnny are going to make it. Next is Clay and AD. Okay, Clay gives me big fuckboy player vibes. He is like smooth, Rico Suave, like he knows he's hot shit, and he lets you know that he's hot shit also. AD is like fun, flirty. She is super bubbly, DTE, down to earth. Okay. She also like speaks her mind if she feels uncomfortable. Love that. A couple other things. Okay. They end up getting engaged and she always talks about how Clay is like her typical type. Okay. Fuck it. I'm like reading my notes and I just need to like freeball this. Okay. We're done with that. They're face to face. They both seemed happy. It seems pretty natural. There was like the body language was like a little off. But like I said, I'm sure it's fucking weird, you know? In the pods, Clay, they had a moment because Clay was talking about how he didn't know if he can propose unless he like she described herself, because he wants a woman with like big lips and like is fit with a fat ass. Little did he know that's exactly what AD was. Like, spitting fucking image. I felt like AD didn't want to like him or love him because she knew he was her typical type, which she's talked about in the past. That didn't work for her. So they ended up getting engaged. Like I said, face to face seemed natural. He was like all over her and shook. I think he was so shook, but it ended up working. On their vacation in episode 6, Clay kind of jumped back into what he knew best and made some comments about, here's my thing. I think he was just like, he just got back where he felt so comfortable. And he's like, yeah, girl, like if you have kids, like you're going to have to get back in the gym. Like I'm going to support you. But like he basically was like, I feel like he didn't say this, but I feel like any woman hears it like this. He's like, I don't want no fat bitch. Like that's, which is like a wild statement. Like I said, he didn't say that, but it could be retrieved that way. I think what he meant, like, I think he was like trying to come at it in like a supportive way, being like, I'll train you, I'll motivate you, we'll get your body back. But it did not come off that way. It was a little careless. Well, the one thing I love about AD is she stands firm with her boundaries, and you can tell she's a little standoffish because she doesn't want to end up in a situation that she's been in the past. She's learned her lessons. She doesn't want to relive them. Even though she picked her typical type, but we'll see what happens. Laura and Jeremy. Okay. This one kind of took me for a left turn. I feel like Jeremy is like the kind of guy that like always has something to say. He's kind of like, he's like a smarty pants almost, you know? And he also comes off as like, almost like he thinks he's so hot, but he's also, he feels like he just thinks he's right type of thing. I don't know. You gotta let me know if you feel the same vibes. Laura is like a tough cookie. She will point out that you're fucking wrong. She'll speak her mind. She hides like her pain with humor. I noticed, because I do the same, where it's like you're uncomfortable or you're upset, so you're going to make a sarcastic joke about it, which they're very forward. I did not expect him to choose her. I thought he was going to choose Sarah. It seemed like their connections in the pods were like more fun and flirty. So when he chose Laura, it kind of threw me for a left turn. Next. Jimmy. Oh, no. Hold on. We're doing Jess. Okay. I fucking love Jess. First of all, she is so gorge, so pretty. I feel like she's loud and funny and fun and outgoing. She's not afraid to be up front. And I see a lot of myself in her. Like, she knows what she wants, and she's clearly been through a lot of shit. And she's also going to stand up for herself when she feels uncomfortable. That is like such a hard thing to mask. And especially as a woman, because I think that we all get into such uncomfortable positions and sometimes we just let it ride out. I really thought her and Jimmy were going to be together. I love that she fucking called Jimmy out so hard. It was so annoying to me that this man like rode these two relationships out until the very last minute and then was just being so wishy-washy. The fact that like he got so stunned that she had a kid was just annoying to me. But also, like, I will be honest, coming from like my own experiences as a mom and kind of being in like the same boat as Jess, like I'm pretty sure we're the same age and we have kids the same age, which is, you know, I think that's why I can see so much of myself in her. But I don't know why she decided to like not tell people off the bat. If it were me, I would just say it right off the bat, because here's the thing, like I don't want to waste my time with someone who isn't interested in like being a part of my life for real. I think that's like the big point in the show. It's like you, it's the ending is marriage is to like find someone that's going to work with. Obviously she was the first one that went on the show with a kid. Props to fucking her, because I'm sure that's so hard. I could not imagine even like just working it out schedule wise. But I think it would have saved her more, and she may have even ended up with the person she wanted to end up with, if she would have just been upfront about it. That's my thought. Chelsea and Jimmy. Okay, I gotta take a sip of wine. My fucking mouth is like so dry. Like I said, this is the basics. We're going through the basics right now, and then we're gonna get into the good shit. Maybe not this episode. We'll see how much longer. Chelsea and Jimmy. Chelsea, I love her. I think she's so fun and quirky. She has a really like just amazing spirit about her. And I love that she's just like goofy and silly. I want to speak on the Megan Fox drama, okay? Because she's getting so much shit online, but she even said in the video that she knows she does not look like Megan Fox. Her comment was strictly talking about her eyes and because she has dark hair. She's like, I don't think I look like her. This is what people say. However, I think, excuse me, this was a huge contributing factor on why she ended up with Jimmy. Jimmy heard that, and here's my thing. This is what I think. Because he thought of the physical, he 100% decided to pick Chelsea because in his mind, he had an idea of what this girl would look like because she related herself to Megan Fox. So he's like, as a man, he's like, do I go with what I think that I know, the safe bet, or do I go with this girl that I'm like a little unsure because of the kid thing, but I don't know what the fuck she looks like? He fucked himself on that. Well, this whole love triangle is hilarious, okay? I do feel bad that Chelsea's getting so much shit online about this. However, I saw that she posted a TikTok just kind of making fun of herself, which made me love her even more. Because if you can't fucking laugh at the haters, what are you doing on reality TV, you know? Plus, I feel like Jess dodged a fucking bullet. Jimmy is not a fine man, okay? He's like not that cute to have two girls fucking loving and dying over him. Give me a break. Sorry, Jimmy. Okay. Jimmy's like the normal guy. He seemed pretty legit in the pods and kept an open mind, but the fact that he couldn't decide between the two girls, and you could like give people gifts and he didn't give either of them gifts. Like, I know it's not about the gifts, but it's like deeper than that. You know, he's like using these excuses because he didn't know what to do. I don't know. I call fucking bullshit. I think Jimmy is faking and he is not really in love I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the situation. We're going to get into that a little bit more. The face-to-face between Jimmy and Chelsea, so uncomfortable. The body language was so off. Jimmy kept like side-eyeing the camera. Could you see that? Where he's like, what the fuck? And then the first thing he says in his testimonial is, she definitely lied to me. She looks nothing like Megan Fox. I hated that. Not to mention, he fucking fumbled her name and called her Jess. Eek. Ouch. Okay. And then when they met, he kept saying like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, looks don't matter. Like, but you're beautiful. All of that to me just sounds like projecting. He did not look okay. He looked like he wanted to fucking run. I think he was in such shock. And his body language has just been so off the whole time. I don't like it. When they were on the vacation, he definitely saw all the other girls and was way more attracted to some of the other girls, making comments like about their bodies, which left Chelsea feeling completely insecure. Understandably so, you know, she's already questioning her security in their relationship because she feels like her body feels like he's lying to her. Because I feel like he is. I think like when you're feeling insecure in a relationship like that, specifically talking about the show, there's a reason, because she's not feeling validated by her partner, because it truly feels like he's lying. Like he's just saying it to say it. And he's playing off on that first day of the vacation, like he's fine and everything's fine and like slipping it under the rug. It's not fine. It's not. And that is going to lead to a lot of struggles down this short, short road that they have to the altar. Lastly, Trevor. Trevor, I so wish ended up with Chelsea. I feel like they would have made it walking down the aisle. He is just such a funny goofball, a big dork, like a big bear. I think he would have been so good to Chelsea. Obviously, that didn't happen. It's crazy that he even called her out about the proposal, like if he would have went first, and she literally had nothing to say. He just handled that situation with such elegance, especially for a man consumed by ego and testosterone. Like, my heart ached. It ached for that, for them. Okay, coming to an end here. These are my predictions. Sorry, I'm like, if you're watching, I have a runny nose. These are my predictions. I just want to say, for those of you who are caught up, I am also caught up now, but I'm still going to stay true to what I originally thought and wrote down. Kenneth and Brittany are going to walk down the aisle. Amy and Jackson are going to walk down the aisle. Those two, I feel like, are strong couples. I really, truly think that they're going to make it. I do think that Jimmy is going to eat his words and need his EpiPen when he meets Jess. Iconic moment. I just think he's lying to himself. I don't think that him and Chelsea are going to make it. I think Chelsea's insecurities, rightly so, in her current relationship are going to push Jimmy away. I'm not sure if he's down to, you know, continuously work on that and work that out. I don't think it's going to happen. Clay and AD, I don't think they're going to get married, but I do think that they're going to stay friends with benefits. I think they're going to maybe continue to date after the show and slow it down, and see if they could make their relationship work before they actually tie the knot. I don't have any other predictions for now, but I have started working on episodes 7 through 10. I may double down. I might drop that. I don't think I'm going to talk about that right now. I think it needs to be a separate episode because damn, some shit got twisted. Some shit happened that I did not think was going to happen. And we'll just have to wait and talk about it the following week. Okay. I hope you enjoyed. This was so much fun. I had so much fun. I am going to keep, I'm going to do next week's episode as well. And just kind of keep talking about this discussion. Let me know if you loved it. Let me know if you hated it. And I'll talk to you next week. Okay. Cheers.
Girl, stop talking.